Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, Glenn Klein, on a beautiful throwback Thursday. It's in Tampa Bay, May 9th, 2019, the only 5-9-2-0-19 in the history of humanity. Let us continue to choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great throwback. Welcome in to another rendition of Organized Fun with a Purpose.
Sex in a pew.
This isn't Sex in the Pews. This is Glenn Klein Online. But that is the man that sings the jingle on our other podcast, Sex in the Pews. We know him. We love him. We would not want to live without him. Please welcome online my son-in-law, Angel Gabriel Chiclana. Angel!
Happy to be here, Papa Man.
Happy to have you on the line. So, yes, the Sex in the Pews, the Chiclinas, along with his wife, my daughter, Hannah Joy, Olson, Klein, Chiclana. That's a hell of a last name.
Oh, yeah. It's a mouthful.
Name of my sex tape.
Ooh.
Angel taught me naming my sex tape. I was visiting him and Hannah in Atlanta, and I said something, and you said, name of my sex tape. And I said, what? He said, you know, Pop, it's like, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Or after you open a fortune cookie and you say, between the sheets.
Yeah, it just hasn't been played out to death. Like, it's still funny.
Excuse me. We played it out to death now on Sex in the Pews.
Yeah, but it's still funny.
No, it's hilarious, and it's the funniest. And as I often tell people, the same thing with opening up a fortune cookie, or that's what she said. You open up a fortune cookie, you say in between the we say between the sheets in our family because it's classier than just in bed.
Much classier.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it's highbrow.
So when I explain that's what she said, or name of my sex tape, I tell people it's always funny, 100%. It's just a question of how funny it is. Sometimes it's hilarious. I had a date one time, and I went to a Chinese restaurant with this young woman, and so I opened up the fortune cookie after the meal, and I said, in between the sheets. She said, what are you saying? So I explained. I said, this is what you say after a fortune.
They all sound like an innuendo.
Right, and every fortune cookie it works for. She goes, no, it doesn't. She never had heard of this. Mm. So we opened up her fortune cookie. It was perfect, whatever it said. And then she ordered 20 fortune cookies because she would not believe me that actually worked. I said, there has never been a fortune cookie created that it doesn't work for.
They're all innuendos.
Yeah. It's just
literally all of them.
It's just amazing. You got to just love up on this microphone.
Really get up on this microphone.
Yeah, it's a very sensitive mic. Name of my sex tape. So the Big O's got the day off, as is his wont sometimes.
Right on.
He is living the life of Riley, as we used to say. So he's in beautiful West Palm, Florida, Donald J. Trump country. But I have Angel here who hails from the Tampa Bay area, but also is now residing in beautiful Hotlanta, Georgia.
What's going on? What's up, ATL?
Yep. And you and Hannah... You love the ATL.
Loving the A.
I spent some time there with you when I learned about name of my sex tape, and I really dug the vibe there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got to go to the Ebenezer Baptist Church, Martin Luther King Jr.'s old church, and God, that was moving and wonderful. But the people in Atlanta are just badass for some reason. What's up with that? Do you think?
I don't know. It's something in the air. Maybe it's something in the water. I just like the fact that there's so much food. There's so much good food. You can just stumble upon a brand new restaurant you've never seen, and it's going to have something amazing in there. I love the food scene there.
What's the best new food you've consumed recently in Atlanta?
Hannah and I really love this restaurant called Tuk Tuk.
Tuk Tuk.
Thai restaurant. Mm. So good. We had a fried cheesecake there. Delightful. They do a fried chicken... I think on like Mondays or something. Now I'm just gushing about a Thai food place, but if you ever are in Atlanta and you hear Tuk Tuk in Buckhead, check it out. Stuff's delicious.
Buckhead, of course, is the relatively affluent area.
One of them.
Yes. There's some serious money in Buckhead in Atlanta. So, yes, Angel is a full-time musician, Hannah, the full-time actor, as well as a singer. And you guys are the ultimate up-and-coming power couple. You realize that, right?
Here's hoping.
Who would I compare you to that's out there as a power couple? I can't think of anybody actually right now who's got, I mean, maybe like a John Legend, Christy Teigen, but she's, I mean, she's gorgeous. She's a model, but she's not as talented as Hannah is, for example. So that analogy kind of fails. Who else would be on that?
I'm not really privy to celebrity couples.
Back when Jennifer Aniston was, Jennifer Garner was with Ben Affleck, that was a pretty fucking powerful couple. Or when, Brad Pitt and, what was his wife's name?
Again, I'm going to be drawing a blank on this.
Dude, this is where Owen sometimes comes in handy.
Good old mighty Google.
Boom, boom.
Jennifer Aniston.
Well, they were with, that was a good power couple, but this was the ultimate
can't see.
Actress.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, Lillian. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, that was a power couple. But this, you guys are the up-and-coming power couple, struggling like a motherfucker right now financially. When did you know that Hannah was the one for you?
A month in.
A month into your dating life?
Yeah.
Which started when you were 16.
Yeah, and I think in the fall of 2007, our sophomore year in high school.
What was your first date like?
She needed to go shop for a Halloween costume for something, and I kind of tagged along. She was dropping me off, and I'm like, where are you going after this? She goes, I'm going to go pick up some costumes. I'm like, I'm great at picking out costumes.
Do you remember what was the costume that she picked out? Do you recall?
Little Red Riding Hood.
Wow. I remember that Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just ripped up when a white shirt that I had, we ripped it up and painted whiskers on my face, and I was a werewolf. Laziest Halloween costume, but it worked. I went with her.
Were you the werewolf of London?
Werewolf of London.
do you know who did that song originally?
No.
Warren Zevon, the great late Warren Zevon.
The late great. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, he does. Inside everybody.
Ow.
Werewolf of London. He did Send Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Mm.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. The shit has hit the fan. When he's saying that the shit has hit the fan, that was like really radical back in the day. And if you dropped any...
Seems almost quaint now.
It is quaint now. Isn't that amazing? What's your take on rap music and the lyrics that the artists use that are pretty out there, even today?
I feel like we live in an era and a world that is pretty out there, and whatever way and form people have to express themselves and kind of put out into the world what they have in their heart and, you know, maybe find other people that are going through the same thing. I'm all for it. Express yourself.
You guys lived in Savannah when Hannah was at SCAD, the mm-hmm. Savannah College of Art and Design, and she got her MFA from there. That was a great experience. But you noticed, you being a dark-skinned Puerto Rican lad, Hannah being the ivory, blonde-haired, blue-eyed babe that she is, that you experienced a significant racial attitude and racism in Savannah that you have not, according to my understanding, have experienced in Atlanta.
I have not. No.
What do you think the difference is between Savannah, Georgia, and Atlanta, Georgia, if you had to say? Because obviously both communities are integrated, and there's a lot of people of color and white people in both cities. What do you think the difference is?
I don't think I could put my finger on it. Maybe it's more of like a deep South mentality in Savannah, Georgia, as opposed to like Atlanta's a little bit more of like a metropolitan area, you know. They vote blue.
They do. They're as most big cities do.
Yeah.
And Savannah not so much.
Not at all.
You wrote a song about, I don't know if it was about your experience in Savannah, but I think it came out of your experience.
I mean, it came out of the collective experience that I've had and what I've witnessed.
Would you please honor us with the song and let the beautiful humans know what the title of that tune is?
Absolutely. This one is called Land of the Free. Your fist and don't resist. While your family's left to grieve, they'll be going on paid leave. Your freedom comes with conditions. Just do exactly as they say. You might survive another day in the land of the free, where they'll shoot you full of liberty. This is home to me. Yes, I joke and digest, but how else am I to digest? Seeing the likeness of me gunned down in the street, the killer goes free and it happens again and again. But I'm not going away from here, and I won't live my life in fear of men. For although we are nowhere near, we are closer than we've ever been to a land of the free. This is home to me. Home to us all.
There's not a time that I hear that song that I don't get choked up for some reason. Not exactly sure why. I mean, it's a very moving song. I played that on the old radio station in Milwaukee, and I played it for a couple different African-American guys that I used to have on the show, and they wanted to criticize it, both of them, that it was not a forward-thinking or a positive, optimistic song. And I think it's very optimistic.
Yeah.
And very realistic. It's like, here's where we're at. Here's where we've been. Here's where we're at. But I ain't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
See, the same men and women, men, not women, who wrote All Men Are Created Equal, who owned slaves, Thomas Jefferson specifically, are the ones that said that we formed this Constitution to establish a more perfect union. They understood. I mean, Jefferson was the one that said that slavery was an abomination. I mean, here, think about that. He was holding slaves, and he said that it was an abomination. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. And I know that we're all contradictions. We're all walking contradictions.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So having said that, when you think about the power of the fact that the same people that were holding slaves establish a country that eventually brings a lot of freedom to the planet. Now, we've done a lot of harm as well. To me, that song reflects all that in there.
Thanks, Bob.
When you've played that in front of predominantly white crowds, what's the difference between when you've played the song before white people and a predominantly group of people of color?
The response has been pretty positive both ways. I never hear anything negative. I either hear that was spot on. Some people comment about the way that I make it sound almost kind of cheery, but it's a very dark subject.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of present it in a cheery, almost kind of dark, melancholy manner. But I either hear positive things or I don't hear anything.
How long does it take you to create a song like that? From beginning to end?
It depends on the song. Some songs just come out of you quickly and just take form quickly. Some other songs come out kind of deformed and not right, and you kind of got to keep molding and switching things around and until they take the shape that they're supposed to take. That's about like 70% of my songs.
I think one of the reasons that song has been so emotional for me is because I can see you being pulled over for driving while dark.
Mm-hmm.
I can see you and Hannah being put down for being an interracial couple. I can see your future children causing trouble.
That was
causing trouble because they'll be normal kids.
Yeah.
But I can see them having trouble come their way because theoretically, at least, they're going to have more melanin in their skin than some.
That was kind of the approach that I took to this song was... The idea was, how am I going to explain this to my future, you know, children? How do I present this in a way that isn't fully just bleak and hopeless, you know?
One of the things that I posted yesterday on Facebook, it's been a thought that's been rolling around in my mind for a while. And when I do original posts or write a blog or whatever, as I do, you guys can see the blog at CoachGlennKline.com. It's called the G-Spot, my blog. I just posted one today about how to deal with people who are in self-hatred or are self-loathers. Pretty powerful, I have to say. But what I do is when something's just kind of rolling around in my soul for a while, I let it rest, and then if it's still there, I go like, all right, I'll refine this. And yesterday I posted something that I've been thinking about for a while, and it happened again when I was at the market yesterday. It's amazing to me how many children are running around of mixed races, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what a blessing to see. I said, I see God in all of them and in everyone. And I don't know how anybody could read that post and not like it and love it. That's where we're going, beautiful humans. We're headed to a society that basically looks like Hannah and Angel's kids are going to look, and like Halle Berry looks, and like President Obama looked, and like so many people in Israel look. Israel has the most mixed race country of any, because there's 120 countries represented in that little New Jersey size country, state of Israel. And as long as you're Jewish, you're good to go. You know what I mean? Say, so they have obviously European Jews. They have what's called Sephardic Jews, or Jews from Hispanic background, Asian Jews, the Ethiopian Jews are there. The most beautiful people on the planet are in Israel. The European basketball players that travel to Israel to play in the European League there universally declare the Israeli women the most beautiful women that they ever see, because mutts make the best dogs. And that's where we're headed. We're headed to just a beautiful, caramelized humanity that excites me to no end. And yet we have a country here in the United States of America, that a percentage of people want to make America great again. The concept of America was great from the outset. The concept, all men are created equal, and that in their mind that included women, even though African people were enslaved and women did not have equal rights at the time, because in the biblical sense, when they talk about man, they're talking about the creation of man and woman. But not only were women mistreated and treated as second-class citizen and throughout the history of the planet as the property of men, but people of just of color, just having a little bit more melanin in your skin. You know how fucked up that is? I mean, that's really ineffective.
Yeah.
Jesus. What the hell is that all about?
It just keeps repeating itself, too.
But it's getting better, because I saw it yesterday again in the market. There's all these kids running around. And you know how is typically the white mom is with the mixed race kids. And you're like, all right, I know what's going on there. And then you see the families together. We have a beautiful family here right off the Hitting Home Media Group studios, mixed race family. Gorgeous and just lovely and wonderful. And we've shared the barbecue. It's the Big O's favorite thing is to barbecue out here and then share it with the people at the pool. I'm like, I want dinner.
Yeah.
Big O.
Meat costs money, man.
Name of my sex tape. When did you decide you wanted to play music full time?
Very young, actually. It's the only profession I've ever really like given any serious thought to.
What have you done professionally, though, besides play music?
I am a professional taco server right now.
It's just a question of catching a break, isn't it?
Yeah.
For guys like you and women like you.
Yeah. This is a question of putting in the work until the work pays off.
How many songs have you written, do you think?
It's hard to tell because, again, they're always growing and evolving and whatnot, but probably in the 40s or 50s.
Wow. And do you remember the first one you did?
Yes.
Do you still sing it?
Yes.
Will you please regale us with the first song that Angel Gabriel Chiclana ever wrote?
It was a love song to Hannah, actually.
Wow. Wow.
Again, I was 16. It's fully out of tune.
I don't know, that would be your estimation. I wouldn't have said that. What is the song entitled?
Baby, You Are My Light.
Wow. Now. It's from Pirates Radio. Midnight Mark. the guy was a DJ. You ever see the movie Pirates Radio? Pirate Radio?
I have not.
With Philip Seymour Hoffman?
There we are.
It's about a radio station off the coast of England. It was a pirate radio station and played rock and roll music that the government didn't want them playing. And one of the DJs, the Midnight DJ, was nicknamed Midnight Mark, and he hardly ever said anything. Like a great rock and roll song from the 60s would be done, and he would just go, wow. And then he would get ready for the next song, and he would just go, now. So we've embraced that. Wow.
Wow.
Now.
There's a love affair between you and I that has changed my life, and I don't know why. Something in the air, the way you move without a care, that twirls me like the hair around your finger. Baby, you're my light. Baby, you're my light. Baby, you're my light.
I kind of messed that one up a little bit. I haven't played that in a while. I'll make it up to you right now, baby.
Why do you do that? Nobody on the planet
Because I'm a perfectionist,
yes,
Pop.
Then be a perfectionist about not telling people when you mess something up. God damn it. You know how many times I've told you this?
Yeah. People deserve the perfect version.
That's fine.
The one that I hear.
It was perfect to me. Stop it.
All right, I'll make it up right now.
All right, do it.
This is another love song to Hannah, actually.
All right, good.
Thank you. That's what y'all deserve.
Damn it. One of the beautiful things about having a son-in-law, and I hate that word, by the way, that term son-in-law. I don't ever refer to you in my mind as son-in-law. You know that, right?
Yeah. You're not my papa man-in-law. Yeah. Just the papa man.
It's a beautiful thing when your daughter marries a son and just like the greatest guy on the planet, at least tied. There's no such thing as a first place tie. Ring it, bitches. So, I mean, the acceptance of you by Mama Dawn, by me, by Joseph and Jacob and Judah and Isaac and Gracie.
Oh, yeah.
And Hannah, I think, has accepted you at this point.
A little, you know? I feel like we're almost there.
How's that experience been for you as a kid from Puerto Rico?
It's like having a second family. Yeah. And it's always been that way, too. Like, after the first dinner. Hannah invites me over. The very first time I'm about to meet all of you guys, unbeknownst to me. She says, we're going to have a birthday dinner, which I took as we're probably going to meet at your house and then we'll all go to like Chili's, some friends. I thought that was birthday dinner. My parents dropped me off at your front, you know, in the driveway.
That's Centerbrook, yeah. 805 Centerbrook Drive.
Oh, yeah. Hannah opens the door, big hug, tells me I have four brothers.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Oh,
I was
my.
Like, oh. Okay.
How rough were they on you in the center?
Not terrible. Joe had some side glances, and he asked a couple of questions. He was polite. Judah was his quiet self.
Yeah.
I caught the hardest. Jake had a couple questions.
Of course.
Isaac mean mugged the crap out of me. the smallest brother. Oh, he looked at me with fire. Just like, ooh.
So it's Joseph Jacob Judah, then Hannah Joy, then Isaac Joel, then Jesse Grace with the pretty face. So Isaac has always been that guy. Even after I left the house the second time, who was like, he had to be the protector.
Oh, he's Papa Bear.
Protected Gracie. Then he's got to protect Mama Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't the most effective approach, but, you know, that was his personality for sure.
We all have our inclinations.
Level 1 to 10, how nervous were you at dinner?
I really liked her, like an 8.5.
So pretty nervous.
Yeah.
And do you remember whose birthday it was?
It was Hannah's birthday.
It was Hannah's birthday. Yeah, wow.
It was her birthday dinner.
How long had you guys been dating at that point? How long were you dating?
A month.
That's a big assignment to come into that lion's den after a month.
Oh yeah, we were in the trenches.
No, you were in the trenches, bro. But as you know, I think that my boys, for some reason, felt that they needed to do the traditional protective thing.
Yeah.
That was not my approach.
I understood it.
Was it?
It was not.
How would you describe to the beautiful humans on Jetty O what my approach was to you dating our oldest daughter?
Positive, supportive.
Outrageous.
Unconventional.
Unconventional. Should we tell the story of the field trip or not? What's your gut telling you right now? We're going to pause for a second. Because Angel and I had a very unique field trip relatively early on in your and Hannah's relationship and therefore our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Can I share in a roundabout way without the specifics? It's a yes or no question, big guy.
I just don't know what the effect of that is going to be with the lady. You know?
First of all, she's not going to listen to this. She'll never make it through this long of the podcast. I don't think she listens to my podcast. I come to every one of her performances. I don't think any of my kids. Dawn doesn't listen. I don't care. I love doing it. I got a lot of other people that enjoy it, apparently. All right, so we won't talk about it. Let's just say it was a very unique field trip situation.
Very unique.
And you know, really kind of cemented our relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'm on Team Angel and Team Hannah. There's no separation as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, no.
I'm just about producing life and pleasure.
Team Wine and Whiskey.
As best I can. Yeah, that's what you guys were going to call your musical group, the two of you, Team Wine and Whiskey. And I felt that, you know, it was a little pejorative potentially for maybe people that didn't want to be necessarily associated with alcohol so much. Even though, I mean, our family, we enjoy our cocktails, one would say.
Yeah, that's one way to say it, yeah.
So then I said, well, let me think about it for a second. And me being the name guy that I am, what did I come up with?
Chiclinas.
The Chiclinas. Chiclana and Klein together. Chiclinas. It's pretty badass.
Oh, yeah.
I often refer to you guys as the Chiclinas on the Sex and the Pews podcast.
It's a cool name.
We don't back off our enjoyment of having a cocktail. In fact, one of the songs that I encourage you to cover was the Willie Nelson tune.
Yeah.
Whiskey River, and as you do, you angelized it. How would you describe when you angelize a song? What is that process like?
I don't know. I just kind of find my groove in it.
When people ask you what type of music you play,
Acoustic soul.
Acoustic soul. So could you please regale us with the acoustic soul version of the Whiskey River? Por favor, señor. Look at that. I'm a badass engineer producer extraordinaire.
Killing it. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. Ooh, you're all I can take care of me.
Feeling the amber current flowing from my mind to a warm and empty heart you left so cold. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. Ooh, you're all I can take care of me.
Yeah, bitches. I love there's not a, you know, here's what I would say. There's not a song that you do that I don't love. But a couple of months ago, you were getting ready to perform at the Red Star Rock Bar in beautiful Seminole Heights here in Tampa. And you know how on Facebook you have events, and the event popped up that, you know, you're 3 hours or 6 hours or whatever the hell's to go hear Angel Gabriel at the Red Star Rock Bar. And I had the same feeling, Angelio, that I have when I'd be going to see like Yonder Mountain or the Grateful Dead or Steely Dan or any of the number of other favorite musical groups or artists that I enjoy. And I thought, oh, my God.
That's high praise.
I'm a fan.
Right on.
I'm not just the goddamn father-in-law. I'm a fan. That's amazing. Oh, I just
think.
Well, we had a little technical difficulty there momentarily, a little bit ago. What was it? The tune that you were playing while I was fucking around with the equipment.
What was I playing?
I don't know.
Who's I was playing one of my latest originals. Do It Right. You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
I see you wondering about my loving, maybe you wanna give it a try. Wonder what's the over-under on how many times I'll make you high. Step right on up, dear, right on up here, baby. Quit just surviving, let's get the jiving.
Yeah.
Till we feel alive. Well, we ain't got much, but we've got tonight. And if we're burning moonlight, then let's do it right, yeah. So come on closer, let me hold you tight. Let's groove to the rhythm of the music tonight. We'll deal with tomorrow in the morning light. Touch and go, nice and slow. We ain't in no rush, baby. Let's take our time. Get you yours, get me mine. Chasing O's in a row. Line them up, down the nose. Curling toes, and we'll see how far it goes. Well, we ain't got much, but we've got tonight. And if we're burning moonlight, then let's do it right, yeah. So come on closer, let me hold it tight. Let's groove to the rhythm of the music tonight. We'll deal with tomorrow in the morning light.
Again, Angel Gabriel Chiclana.
Headphones fell off on that one.
Nobody would have known but me.
The groove went too hard at the end.
Name of my
shaking
sex
my
tape.
Head around too much.
That's a great one, man. That is a great fucking song. Yeah. Mm. You can't beat fun at the old podcast studios. This is Glenn Klein Online in the Hitting Home Media Group studios. The big O, Owen Pratt, has got the day off, but Angel Gabriel Chiclana. You go by Angel Gabriel on the professional side, right?
Yes, sir.
And why'd you decide that?
I don't know. It's my actual name, and it seems very marketable.
And Gabriel's an angel.
Yeah, he's the messenger angel. Who knows? Maybe my songs have a message.
I think they do. So this is a family affair. I mean, Hannah, incredible, talented artiste as well. I remember when I think it was at her Sweet 16. Did your band play at her Sweet 16 around the pool? Was that what that was?
That was my 18th birthday.
That was your 18th birthday.
Oh yeah.
When you came with the Green Geist.
Yes.
Ray Rodriguez and who
used and Joseph Lucas on the lead guitar, and the Hawaiian Monster Ross Brock.
What was the band's name? Do you remember?
No pun intended.
No pun intended. That was good. Very good. Grandma and Grandpa were there, and your folks and your family. Junito was there, looking as ghetto and as not ghetto gangster. Junito, describe for the beautiful humans how your brother looked back in those days, and how he probably came to that party.
He was a tattoo covered. Mechanic, rough hands, rough neck of a man.
White wife beater.
Well, no, he doesn't beat his wife. But
no, but no. It's a very good point, Stacy. Also a mixed race couple, gorgeous son, Angel Miguel.
Oh, yeah.
What do we call Angel Miguel?
We call him Junie.
Junie.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I still call him, I call him Baby Davis now.
Baby Davis?
Yeah, from
he's about it.
Big Baby Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Big Baby Davis?
Oh, yeah.
Basketball player.
Played for the Orlando Magic, played for the Celtics.
I gave him the nickname last time I saw him. God, he's a sweet kid. Well, he's smart as a whip.
Oh, yeah.
Funny.
Almost too smart.
Smart ass. So, yeah, Junito looked like a gangbanger, basically.
Yeah.
And my folks have not had a lot of experience in those kind of scenarios. And they were, you know, just noted it. And over time, they've gotten to know Junito. Your older brother is one of the great lovers of all time.
Oh, yeah. He is
so sweet. Love that kid. And but his visage would not indicate that. Classic example of do not judge the book by its cover.
No.
It's fucking stupid.
It's a rough cover, but it's a beautiful book.
What a good dude. Stacy's freaking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Smart. They have a really funny, wonderful relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And they've produced an incredible kid, another mixed race kid. We were talking earlier about the stoic nature of our third son, Judah. And Candace, his wife, I mean, she is lovely, sweet as could be, but she's not particularly extroverted either.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, if you had to say, both Candace and Judah Klein are introverts.
Oh, yeah.
Then they produce Connor. Connor just turned 8 months old.
Oh, yeah. He's all love, too.
Shout
out to the Con-Con, man.
He is the exact opposite of introverted. At 8 months, you can see it. I mean, he is just personality outgoing, always smiling, always wanting to interact.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how critical genetics are in the forming of a human being. I know that sounds kind of self-evident, but it's really not. When we adopted Gracie, we have had the five, the Joseph, Jacob, Judah, the Hannah, Joy, and the Isaac. And then we decided to adopt one. And here came Jessica Grace with the pretty face. And I knew that I was going to learn a lot, as is my wont, doing what I do with life coaching and just being the observer of the human condition that I am. I knew I would learn a lot about nature versus nurture, genetics versus upbringing and experience. At the time when we adopted Gracie, if you would have asked me, I would have said I would assume that genetics plays about 60% experience, upbringing, background, 40%. Mm-hmm. Now I'm at like 95.5. 95% genetics, 5% experience, which seems very insignificant. But I told one of my life coaches, Chris Harrington, about this. He said, yeah, I can hear that. And even geneticists now, by the way, are saying that genetics play an even a more enormous role. We have these twins, these girl twins that were separated at birth in China because they've got the one child policy there. And the male child in that society, and unfortunately in so many societies, is still valued more than the woman or the girl baby. And so a lot of Chinese couples, if they have twin girls, they just put the girls in an orphanage. And people from around the world have come to China to adopt these twins, but they separate them at birth. But because of Facebook, they're finding each other now. And here's what they found, that regardless of what continent they ended up in, what socioeconomic situation they ended up in, what the family structure was, if there were other kids, if it was a single family, if it was a gay couple, whatever the fuck, mm-hmm. pretty much the twins have lived identical lives, which it would indicate that genetics is pretty damn important. So my coach, Chris Harrington, said, yeah, but 5%. He said to me, he goes, you drive from Tampa to Eagle River, Wisconsin, to your lake house in the North Woods frequently, don't you? I said, yeah, I've done it dozens of times. He said, you know how to do it without it being a map at this point. I said, yeah, I do. He said, what if your directions, though, were 5% off to the west? He said, what would happen to you? I was like, I'd end up in the Pacific Ocean. He goes, yeah, though, so 5% can be pretty important. So even with Gracie having the challenges that she's had with the schizophrenia, I can still see the 5% of the upbringing, the love, and because she's stabilized, relatively speaking, now on this medication called Clozaril. But to see Connor just, I mean, that kid is so freaking outgoing, even at 8 months. And what a blessing. He was born not breathing. That kid. And it was an awful delivery, but it was a great life-saving procedure that he went through, and now he's just crushing it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's off the medication, he's no more seizures, he's just regular baby checkups, and Mama Dawn doing an incredible job, as well as everybody, and Candace's mom, and I mean, the young man is just surrounded by love, and he's got one hell of a head of red hair, that kid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Would you consider him a ginger at this point?
I think we have strong indications.
like his Uncle Jake?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, well, he could do worse looking and having the level of intelligence and intellectual curiosity than his Uncle Jake. But he is his son and his mom's kid. There's no doubt about it. Yeah,
for sure.
Lot of love. Speaking of the lake house in Wisconsin, the beautiful humans know that Dawn and I used to own and operate and direct Camp Menominee, and that was a huge part of Hannah, your wife's upbringing. We refer to Hannah as Rife because Joe Klein, the oldest, the aforementioned, performed the ceremony at your guys' wedding, and when it came to the moment of saying, I now pronounce you husband and wife, mm-hmm. Joe fucked it up, and he said, I now pronounce you husband and.
I now pronounce you? Husband and Rife.
And Rife. And he did not correct himself. And
it's perfect. She's my Rife.
She's your Rife. Well, Hannah was born in the North Woods, or in Wisconsin, spent all of her formative years, both growing up at Camp Menominee and then at the girls' camp, Camp Miramita. And you knew about that early on. And how, like, crazy did you think our camp experience was as you were getting to know us and just not having gone to that kind of camp yourself?
Honestly, could not even imagine what it was. Could not even imagine. Had no idea. All I knew about camping was, you know, what you see in the movies. Heavy weights. maybe they have some go-karts, some kayaking. Didn't know what it was, but.
And then, several years ago now, you came to the alumni camp, or the fantasy camp,
mm-hmm.
that I started 32 years ago. And the thing about the fantasy camp, it's an alumni camp, but other people that did not go to Menominee as a boy do come to camp with their friends, like you did with me, and I think it was Jake and Joe and Judah at the time. You were freaked out, bro. You looked like a deer caught in the headlights.
Oh, yeah.
Initially. But As what happens at camp, camp is such a wonderful experience for kids. I cannot recommend the summer camp experience. In whatever way you can get your kid into summer camp, I cannot recommend it enough. Eventually, if it's a good camp, and Menominee was and still is one of the best camps in the Northwoods, if not the best camp, the child will find his or her niche. And it happened to you in two ways. Somebody had a guitar around. You didn't bring your guitar the first year.
No.
But somebody had one, and you picked it up, and you did your acoustic soul thing. And people were like, what? And then you had some significant success in Twilight League softball early on. And then all of a sudden, you're part of the team, and you're getting notoriety. And within overnight, pretty much, you went from being a deer caught in the headlights to totally one of the boys.
Oh, yeah.
How was that experience for you?
It was awesome. I look forward to it every time that I get to do it, you know? It's like a third family.
It's a highlight of your year, isn't it, at this point?
Oh, yeah.
And how much more insight did you have into your wife, having now experienced camp and literally being at the camp that she ran around as a little girl?
Gave me a lot of insight into Hannah.
What like what?
I mean, I could understand her love of it. I could understand how, like,
how badass it was.
How badass it was, and how she, like, is able to outwardly love on everyone, because that place is just riddled with lovely people.
Yeah, and just accepting people for who they are.
Exactly.
Which is one of the great qualities that Hannah Joy Olson Klein Chiclana has. I mean, she may be accepting of people as well as any person I've ever met. I mean, she's the opposite of a hater.
She's an open heart.
Yeah, Hannah Joy, an open heart. That's awesome, dude. So the next year, you brought your guitar at fantasy camp. And I don't know if I was sitting right next to you when you broke it out. There's a closing bonfire, a campfire at the end of the camp. And most of the guys at that point were down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somebody will have a guitar and somebody will play, you know, Kumbaya, my Lord, you know, some campy type song. But then you broke out the acoustic soul. And I heard some guy down the circle on the benches. I heard this. I don't know who said it, but I heard the guy go, what the hell is this? And then you basically did like a 45-minute concert around the campfire.
Yeah.
And your legend was cemented at the friendly confines of Camp Menominee. That's amazing. Will you play us another song, please, that you may have played around the campfire?
Sure. I'm trying to think.
Play my favorite, please. You know. Here we go. Angel Gabriel from the Hitting Home Media Group Studios with the original Lost.
Hansel and Gretel in a city of metal, chanting that tap, dancing on the devil's gas pedal, trying to find the crumbs they laid off Doritos and Frito-Lays that the crows carried away. And now they've walked for days because they're lost in this maze of a city. All the corners look the same, the citizens don't know their names. I say tomorrow it might rain, or was that yesterday? Empty cars riddle the streets, cause everyone has left their seats. People have taken to their feet, cause there's no room to move. The world is like a big balloon, you fill it up to make some room. And then one day you hear the boom, the world is falling down. Because we're lost in this maze of a city. The cab drivers don't know the streets, the vegetarians eating meat. We walk with fire beneath our feet, the city never ends. You can find the needle in a day if you roll your body through the hay. Where there's a will, there is a way. That's what my mother said. The aliens were once our friends. They take us every now and then. When Bigfoot became the new trend, they left us here for dead. And now we're lost in this maze of a city. Life sometimes does not make sense, but if you look with innocence, you'll find that 9 times out of 10, the problem's in your
head.
It's a problem when the cab drivers don't know the streets and when vegetarians are eating meat.
The city never ends.
It's a problem. How the hell did you come up with that one?
That's a shower thought song. Those were all shower thoughts. I wrote that entire song during one shower.
This is a good Lost by Angel Gabriel on the Glenn Klein Online Quality Podcast. Wow, I could do this all day. Would you let's play one more and then we'll say shalom, everybody. Go whatever comes to your very fruitful mind. Yeah.
Used to spend my nights out in a barroom. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottle. Brought me back from being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as warm as glass of brandy. Honey, I stay stoned on your love all the time. Used to look for love in all the same old places. Found the bottom of the bottle's always dry. But when you poured out your heart, I couldn't waste it. 'Cause there's nothing like your love to give me high. Your it's Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as warm as a glass of brandy. Honey, I stay stoned on your love all the time.
Thank you, thank you.
You're pretty good.
Thanks, Bob.
And a growing number of beautiful humans around the terra firma are agreeing with that statement and enjoying the music. Where can they find you on the interweb?
They can find me on Instagram as The Angel Gabriel Music.
The Angel Gabriel Music.
And on Facebook as Angel Gabriel Music.
Anything on Spotify or any of these other
not things? As of yet, not but right that now. Is in the works.
YouTube? Nothing.
No, I'm working on that.
But he performs in Atlanta. He performs in Tampa. He performs in Orlando.
Yeah, and I post all of those dates to the social medias.
And on Facebook, you're Angel Gabriel Chiclana on your personal page.
Yeah, the personal page.
So if you want to friend him, just go to his page. Or friend me and Glenn Klein in Riverview, Florida, and then you can find Angel Gabriel Chiclana. You can find Hannah Chiclana, and you can find Sex in the Pews as well, if you're so inclined. It's not for the faint of heart, I must say that. I think that my kids don't like to hear me talk about sex, which I, you know, just that's their issue.
Yeah.
You don't seem to mind it so much in our personal conversations, which is awesome. So, yeah, so that's what we do.
Right on, right on.
Let me know how I can help you. My coaching site is coachglennkline.com. The Sex in the Pews podcast can be picked up on iTunes and at sexinthepews.com, as well as encouraging you to subscribe and give us a good rating at glennkleinonline.com. A lot of things going on here.
Oh, yeah.
At the Glow Enterprises, LLC. Let me know how I can help. The email address is coach@glennkleinonline.com. Listen, it's time to go to Sushi Kanpai. That's just the bottom line.
I think the time for sushi is upon us.
It's arrived. That's where we're going. Thanks for doing this, bro.
Hey, that's what family's for.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you realize in your career you're going to be doing a lot of these type of shows and spreading the word and entertaining and blessing the masses.
Right on, right on.
That's right. All right, well, we will love you, and as always, and we will do it again next time here on Glenn Klein Online. And until that time, this is Glenn Klein.
And Angel Gabriel.
Saying
shalom, everybody.
Bitches. That's a tradition unlike any other. Dude, amazing.
Cool.
Thank you.
No problem.